are a conservative lot. We seem to be prepared to hang on to ideas and rules we were taught as kids or learnt the hard way years ago. Even though we and the world around us keep changing, we hope that by hanging on to the old, we can escape the change upon us. There is an old saying along the lines, if at first you don't succeed, try again. But we often keep trying the same thing over and over and over again and not realising or accepting that it doesn't work. Our lives today may help us face up to this issue. And in our lives, and especially in our beliefs and our faith journey. Way back in prehistory, the Bible tells us a story of the flood and an amazing exchange between God and Noah after the flood receded, and that part of the world was being restored in some way. The story essentially has God being frustrated and angry with the people he created who were living in evil and violent ways, not as God had designed it. So angry was God that he sent a flood to wipe out all the people who had gone their own way, apart from Noah and his family and a collection of the creation. The story then says that God reviewed the situation and realised that even though there had been much destruction, the people had not responded at all. Punishment did not work. God realised that the problem of evil in the hearts of people could only be resolved within the heart of God himself. And so God tells Noah that he's changed direction and will no longer use punishment as a way of dealing with human failings. God makes a covenant with Noah and his descendants and all generations, all creation. I promise that never again will all living things be destroyed by flood. Never again will a flood destroy the earth. God said that this covenant would be everlasting, a sign to remind God and people of the covenant would be the rainbow in the sky. This is one of the few unconditional covenants in the Bible. It's all for God to uphold, despite what humans might do. This is an amazing insight for the people who created the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, probably during the exile in Babylon in about 550 BC. The story is similar in a way to the Garden of Eden story of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Both stories reveal an amazing understanding of human nature and failing, and have a very involved God interacting with his creation. These stories were totally against the general notions of gods as powerful, possibly capricious, and definitely punishers of bad behaviour. Not that people paid much attention to the gods, but there was still an underlying fear of punishment. The people who wrote these stories in the Torah were probably influenced in the new direction by the prophets such as Isaiah and Jeremiah. Despite the rainbow covenant, the old notions still govern our civil law and treatment of offenders, and also conservative religions in their assumptions about God and people. Punishment is still the thing, even though our prisons are overflowing and people turn away from a fearful God. What was that I said earlier? If at first you don't succeed. So if punishment is no longer used by God, and God is using another way of dealing with human failure, what is it? There are quite a few clues in the prophetic writings and in some of the Psalms. But possibly the best insight is the short passage we heard from early in the Gospel of Mark. We know that Mark goes through the story of Jesus very rapidly, but this short passage is extraordinary. In 6 verses, we have 3 major events which shape the ministry of Jesus. Because they run together, we should probably view the 3 events together as defining God's purpose and how Jesus was to carry it out. Despite that, the first event is the baptism of Jesus. Jesus is affirmed as the loving God, Son of God, and the Spirit of God comes on him to empower and to lead his ministry. Jesus still called himself a man and repeatedly calls us to follow him. In other words, to be like him, beloved children of God, with God's Spirit of love and life within us. So instead of being defined as sinners by our failures, we are actually defined as part of God's work. With a loving God within, there is no need for punishment by an external God. Love and forgiveness can overcome all. The next event in these 3 short stories is the temptation of Jesus. All Mark says is that Jesus was made to go into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by Satan. Wild animals were there and angels attended him. This was immediately after the uplifting and affirming baptism experience. In the desert, Jesus had his assumptions and dreams challenged over 40 days and thankfully emerged, shaken up but totally committed to his God. God deals with us in odd ways, not always nice and comfortable. Just like Jesus, we can't rest on our laurels and not have our assumptions and views and values challenged by our God. But eventually, we can emerge as recreated beings, aligned with God. The third event is the summary at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Now is the time, the kingdom of God has come. Turn away from your sins and believe the good news. God, through Jesus, is asking people to turn away from the same violent and evil ways of old and trust the good news of God's love, forgiveness, and new life. So this is God's alternative to punishment. In 3 stories of baptism, temptation, and call, we have the new way, which could also be summarised as identity, reflection, and task. Firstly, identity. We are given a new identity as loved children of God. No longer do we have to hang on to the old identity as defective or sinner. Reflection. We are led to reassess our assumptions and views, how they might reflect the God who calls us to be his loved children. And task. We are called to turn away from the things which have hold of us and become part of the realm of God which is here, around us and within us. The old system of sin and punishment was stopped right near the beginning. We are to be part of God's new way. It is not made up of rules like the old, but is based on a growing relationship with our loving God. It's not as simple, but it is life-giving. Just take a moment to reflect on the things that you cling to that serve no real good. Can you see yourself letting go of God as punisher? And can you see the new way of God really working in you? As I said in the introduction, we're a conservative lot and we hang on to things we were taught or picked up in our earlier lives. If you were like me, I spent the first 45 years of my life believing in the old traditions and the teachings of sin and fear of punishment. I didn't seem to be very connected to the new life or the grace and joy that people spoke about. Then I was challenged by a God of grace who loved me more than I could imagine, and I couldn't reconcile this God with the one I had been hanging on to. So I began a long process of challenging everything I had been taught and seeing how it had fitted with a God of grace. Bible readings seemed to take on alternative meanings which supported a God of grace rather than the God I was moving from. I was developing a theology which was central to me, and it was eventually affirmed during my lay preacher's course. The old images and fears were left behind, and a new way of life with Jesus had emerged. If you've been coming to Southside for a while, you have continually heard of a God of love and healing and forgiveness, and very rarely of the other, except possibly in some songs. This God is probably sitting in your head, but has the reality moved to your heart? Can I suggest you have a gentle look at what you are really hanging on to and whether it aligns with the God you know about? If you're anything like me, you are reluctant to let go of something which you were told is true. This is where faith and trust in God who loves you has to take over. We are shortly to celebrate Holy Communion, in which Jesus asks us to remember him. What is it about Jesus that you remember when you receive the bread and the wine and take it into yourself? I used to always link it only to Jesus' death and what I thought that meant, because the story comes from the Last Supper. But who was it that Jesus was asking us to remember? Was it only the one who was crucified, or much more? I imagine that Jesus would also have been referring to his life and his message and the revelation of the true God, the one he kept asking us to follow. I know that many people have images and stories which they recall when taking communion, and that helps make it meaningful at the time. Can I also suggest that for this and the next few communions you receive, you try images and stories aligned with the Jesus who asks us to follow him and remember him. Our God is a God of love and peace and compassion and also a challenge. God is not a God of punishment to be feared, but to be close to and to reflect in the world around us. May God bless you as you dig into those things you are hanging on to and guide you to see God in his new light. Amen.